whole lot of drinking. Are we actually recording?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank goodness. I didn't see the countdown. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Estate Makes Us Drink. We're happy you're here. Brian Quinlan from Daniels Real Estate.
Brad Nickum from Nest Mortgage Group.
Well, Brad, I just got back from vacation. And here I am, and we have a guest.
I know. Isn't it great?
All right.
It happens all the time now.
Somebody that is actually new to both of us. So, sir, introduce yourselves to the folks at home.
Hi. My name is Chris Zenz. I'm the owner of Patriot Home and Septic Inspections. Got into this business by, I was going to be a home inspector and went through the training, retired from the military, didn't have anything to do. Got into it and realized that nobody does this.
Yeah.
So, or if they do, they own a septic company, and sometimes they may have a little bit of an agenda. I don't. So I went through some training. I worked for a guy for a couple of years and started my own business, and it just took off from there. So
that's awesome. All right, we are definitely going to get into a lot of that.
I would. I'm going to say that we're going to get down and dirty with him.
I would say so.
Yeah.
However, let's start talking drinks. What tequila are we working with today?
Well, Brian, I've got a couple of things you're going to be really excited about. First of all, this
probably am.
Brand new brand called Musto. And the master distiller on this one's my friend Oscar Vazquez. So pretty Oscar? Excited about that. It's coming out of NOM 1580, made very traditionally. And it's owned by a few guys. Paolo, yeah, I said sure. That wrong even the first time I talked to him. Paolo and a guy named Dave. And Dave happens to own a brewery as well.
All right.
And when we were talking, I told him about our podcast and that unfortunately I get a lot of tequila and you don't get a lot of free stuff. Like I told him I get hats and
I'm getting a bit excited. You're going
to wear hats all the time.
Free beer or a hat or something.
He owns Vail Brewery.
Uh huh.
And he's putting together a package and he's sending like all their different types of beer that they make.
Finally. And thank you to that group. Finally,
all my work is getting you something for free.
It's finally hooking me up. Well, that's great.
So,
what are we drinking today?
It's called Musto. It's fantastic. It's a repo. It is absolutely a fantastic drink. And you might also notice a little change here.
This gigantic bowl. It's like a goldfish bowl you're holding.
My favorite cup that you know that I drank out of?
Uh-huh.
Knocked it off the shelf and broke it the other night. So I no longer have my favorite cup.
Sad.
And I drink a lot of tequila, maybe more than what I should. So my wife asked me if I could back it down to maybe one glass per night. So voila,
I told her
yes. So, and I know you just got back from a cruise. Your liver is probably as tired as a marathon runner's legs.
Could be.
What do you got?
Running, by the way. This is, let's see, North High Brewing Company Lager. It's a Helles Lager. Notice the gold color, a little cloudy there. But it's way too small for me to read where that's from.
I got my glasses.
Columbus, Ohio. There we go.
All right.
You know, tastes like a lot of other Helles lagers I've had. It's good. So there we go. And Chris just got off the job, choosing not to drink today, which is totally fine. We don't force anyone to do things. So we're going to drink in your honor, sir.
We do bring a pretty heavy level of peer pressure, though, most of the time.
I didn't deal with a lot of real estate agents today. Enough to drink, make me drink. So.
Well, you know, when you came in and Brian went and looked for this short seat for you to sit beside us and you were kind of a towering individual, I thought, man, this is where my bullying and peer pressure stops.
That's right. Keep it in check.
This guy could flip me across the room with his finger.
That's true. Not to mention, you mentioned military. What service were you in?
I was in the Army.
All right.
One year.
All right. Well, thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Did you ever spend any time at the beautiful Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas?
I did not. Thank goodness.
Why does everybody say that?
At some place I never wanted to go. I was at it's probably better than Fort Bliss, which is El Paso.
Okay.
But right by Juarez. But
yeah.
Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio was there for some military training there, but never Fort Hood. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I was not in the military, but I've been to Fort Hood several times, and it's
huge.
It's the largest, I think, the largest military base that the United States has.
I think so, yeah.
It's like a town. It's pretty awesome.
Like a town.
It actually, it is its own city with an airport.
Yeah.
Okay.
So pretty cool.
So after you got out of the Army, you said you got into, essentially went into the septic business from there?
Well, I was actually doing nothing. And a guy called me and he was like, hey, what are you doing? I see you're retired. And I said, well, I'm on vacation. I'm not really doing anything. I just retired. And he's like, do you want to come work for me? And I'm like, well, what do you do? He's like, well, I own a septic company. I'm like, no, that sounds horrible.
Honestly, that sounds terrible. Yeah,
it does.
He's like, no, it's not as bad as you think. But so I started working for him. And there was an older gentleman there who did the inspections for him. And he was not in very good shape. So I went out and helped him out and got into it. And I'm like, show me how to do it. That way you can relax a little bit. My wife is pregnant. I told her when I quit, I went to a home inspection course. I was just going to start my own business. Going to see about doing that. And, when she was pregnant, I said, when you get off for maternity leave, I'm going to go ahead and start my own business. And so I quit working for that guy and I started getting calls about septic inspections. And I'm like, well, I'm going to try this. And I did. And it just, I went from day one, just took cards and went to all the real estate agents and like old school pounding on doors, and all of a sudden it just took off. So, and now I do probably 350 or more a year.
Wow.
300 plus a year. So like I probably had three every day this week. So,
wow. But, when did you start all that?
2019 on my own.
Oh, so. Okay.
And I went and got IOPA certified, which is Indiana Wastewater, On-Site Wastewater Professional Association. Got trained through them and learned a heck of a lot more. There's actually a little bit of a science, or there's a lot of science.
There's a lot of science.
A lot of science to it, which I just thought it's not. It's just, you just go to the bathroom and it goes into a hole, you know?
No, you actually turn our poop water into drinking water.
Sounds delightful.
Yeah.
That's not his job though.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
That you make me think of my favorite pipe fitter plumber joke.
Okay.
You know the difference between a pipe fitter and a plumber?
No.
Pipe fitter can chew his nails.
Yeah, I use a lot of alcohol.
Oh, I bet
you do.
I bet you do.
And he cleans his hands all the time.
Yeah. All right. So I've been in real estate for 5 years. Not a lot of experience with septic. I have never lived in a house that has septic. Mm-hmm. And so my knowledge of that is pretty basic. What I was always told early on, especially, was, yeah, you know, just you want to have that inspected. They're going to come out. They're going to stick a pin or something in the ground to sort of test to see where water levels might be, that kind of stuff. And they're going to put some dye in there to see how that's all going. Then I went to a seminar, I guess, that you put on a couple of months ago and learned that there is way more to what you do than that.
Yes.
So when it comes to somebody needing their septic inspected, from your standpoint, what does that involve?
The first thing I do is I like to study. Before I go to the house, I like to contact the health department, get whatever information I can on the house. A lot of times they don't have it. Just maybe it depends on age or something like that. Then I'll start looking at satellite photos of the area. Sometimes I can see the entire system on a satellite, so I already know where everything is when I get there.
God bless technology.
Yeah. Or I can see what it's doing.
Like Mr. Google.
Yeah. I go look at the surrounding area and see, this one's not, there's a creek right behind the house. Maybe, you know, I can see something's not right, you know, or maybe the yard is not even big enough to have a septic. And I'm like, well, this doesn't make sense. So then turns out it's doing something it's not supposed to, going across the street to a ditch or something else, you know. So,
oh, you can't just run it to the creek?
No, not at all. I mean, you could years ago, nobody cared, but not now. So, so when I go out to the house, I have an idea where everything is anyway. And when I go out to, even if I don't, I go out to a house, I know about where the septic is, unless it's something crazy. So I'll probe if it's buried and I'll find it and I'll dig up where the lid is on the tank, pull the tank and start inspecting inside the tank. And I'm looking for what's called baffles inside the tank. There's an inlet and outlet baffle that helps keep all the yuck in the tank and just the liquid going out if you want. So without those baffles, like a normal home inspector, you talk about the dye test, like for years, real estate agents depended on home inspectors and a dye test, and that's all they thought of.
Yeah.
So when I started, she's like, well, you didn't put dye in the tank. And I'm like, well, I don't need dye. You know, if it's dry right now, if I walk out there after I'm done and it's wet, I don't need dye to tell me that. But
Okay, so yeah, I don't know about the dye test. So explain what a dye test
is. It just makes the water in a tank, like I use, like fluorescent green. If you run water long enough, if there's an issue, it could come up in the yard. I don't know if you've seen Meet the Fockers. I have seen Meet the Fockers. So, you know, it leaches up in the yard and you can see the dye.
And if it does that, then you have a problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And a lot of times I don't see a leach up because I usually see it back up in the tank. And that's another thing. If the tank is buried and a home inspector will walk out in the yard and go, I don't see any dye, but it's completely flooded in the tank and I don't even know it. You know, so there is a problem. So, you know, I had something happen.
I want to ask a question.
Go ahead. If you're not looking in the tank, you're not doing anything.
Yeah. Okay. And
that's the thing.
So. Yeah. So a little note for you who have a septic system. If all the person does when they come out there is a dye test and, you know, stick a pin in the ground to see if there's any seepage or water, that's just not enough.
When you probe the fingers, when I find the gravel trenches, the fingers, and I probe them, and I pull the probe out and water shoots up out of the hole.
That's a problem.
That's a problem because it's holding water. It's not draining. So that's what you're looking for when you're
there. You fingers. Go.
And I try to locate all those and map everything out too so that you have a drawing of your system.
All right.
We left our house for a vacation for 15 days. And without us knowing it, a couple of the toilets didn't get the thing jingled to make them stop running. So we left for 15 days and we also had massive amounts of rain. And when we got home, backyard had water in it.
Good combination.
And I'm like, what the heck is going on? You know, and so I called a buddy and he's like, well, your septic's probably just full from all the rain.
Mm-hmm. And that happened.
But you shouldn't have water in your yard unless something else was going on. I was like, what do you think? It hurt that two toilets ran the entire time we were gone for? He's like, yeah, you idiot.
So that's the Meet the Fockers situation.
I thought I broke it.
No, it just needs to dry out. Like, we just came from a house and I met the health department out in Rushville a few weeks ago and it was leaching up all over the yard.
I'm Brian, your Indianapolis realtor. If you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Indy area, I'm your guy. If you're coming from out of state, want to make a move to the Indy area, I'm your guy. Check out the show notes for a link. We can get in touch and get you started. Thanks for watching. Now back to the show.
And the house was vacant. The old guy lived there and the people buying it were like, this has failed. And as we were walking out, the garage doors open and the health department guy was like, what is that noise? And the water softener was running, cycling continuously. And so I told the health department guy, like, what do you think I should do? I'm like, just shut off all the water, let it dry out, and come back in a week, turn it on. And it was fine after that. It dried out. But another kid who lives in the area who was a septic installer actually called the company who made it and said, hey, it was on this cycle, and it was like running 1,200 gallons a day. And it had been doing that for weeks and weeks and weeks.
That's a ton of water.
Yeah. So it's 1200 gallons a day. And you know, that septic system is only probably meant to, I think it was only like 500 max gallons use per day. So it's just too much. So he was adding twice the amount of water max per day for several weeks. So
we got home and we heard our well running continuous.
The well?
Yeah.
Oh, because that was caused it. It was filling water.
Yeah. Well, because both those toilets were running water. Mm-hmm. The well was running, because the well will pump and then not, right?
So right, yeah.
I come in the house and I hear just flowing water and I'm like, what the heck is going on? It's both those toilets. You wouldn't think that puts out that much water, but
yeah. A good way to test your toilet is if you can go down to off Washington Street, down there's a place called Drainage Solutions, or you can buy them online, just little capsule, little dye tabs.
Mm-hmm.
You put one in the back of your toilet and come back 10 minutes later. And if your toilet is yellow, blue, whatever color you have, you know your flapper's not working.
Right.
You know, it could be a very minute, you know, leak, but
if you come home from a cruise and your pee's that color, your flapper's not working either.
You have had some bad luck with plumbing when you've been on vacation.
Oh my gosh. You don't even know.
He's in his 50s probably. Huh?
Not my personal plumbing.
Oh, personal. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, where was I going to go? Okay. So you had mentioned that years ago, people would put in septic systems and they would drain to a nearby creek.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is bad for the environment, bad for local water source and all of that. Now, let's say that they have no problem with their septic. And somebody, now they decide they're going to sell their house. Person who buys the house Nothing has been revealed in a seller's disclosure that there's any issue with the septic. So they're like, must be okay. They don't have it tested. Now they own the house and something happens and they find out that their septic is leaking into the creek or emptying into the creek nearby. What, I guess, potential issues does that new homeowner now have? Because
don't
their
tell
septic,
anybody. Well, if it's found out, there it has to be replaced.
That's the thing.
So, you know, a good start here, at least in Indianapolis, $30,000 is a good start for a new septic system.
Okay.
Wow.
And I don't install, but that's the going number I hear. You're pretty good to say $30,000 is a good start, and it can go up to $60,000. You know, I mean, so, or it depends on who's doing it.
Sure.
But
do they walk in and look at the size of the family and go, this one's going to be 60.
How many people live here?
Yeah, I think so, this one's got a lot of pizza.
Judging by the pizza boxes I see outside.
Yeah,
I didn't. 45.
Does Dunkin' Donuts really come here 3 times a day?
Yeah. It's based off of how many bedrooms and soil, what your soil's like and what kind of system it needs. So that's what it's based off of.
But, gotcha.
But
I apologize, but does that pricing, and I know you don't sell them, but does that include removal of the system that's in there, or is that just
for installation?
Oh, no?
They can find a new spot, or sometimes they can go over it. Sometimes you have to put in a mound system, which kind of sits on top. So there's several ways they can do it. If it's going to a creek, there is no system. It's just one pipe going to the creek. So.
Yeah.
So you have plenty of room to start. So
that's true.
And that's the problem I see now is like, especially out in the country. So you have a farmhouse, it's on 3 acres, and then the farmer passes away. It's in a trust. The farmer down the road buys all the tillable land, and that house drains to just a field tile that the old farmer hooked it up to out in the field. Well, they no longer own that property anymore. They're only selling the 3 acres. And when I find it, a lot of times I can't find it, like, because I don't have a way to dig up, but I know it's going. Sometimes I can see it on satellite. I can see the field tile coming to the house. I can see the
big green grass growing.
Green stripe going to the field tile. Out, you know,
and the taller corn.
Yeah. I had one the other day where it was a hay field, and it was green. It was still green. And a girl was buying a house out east, and I said, you see that big tall spot out in the field? It was like taller than everything else. I go, that's the first place I'm walking. And I went out there, and there was like a bucket with a metal lid on it, and I lifted it up, and my green dye was in it. It was connected to some tiles, but it was in there.
See, that's just good for that was good for the fields, though.
Oh, yeah. Good crops, I guess. Yeah.
You're like, hey, this corn tastes like Bill's dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. Tastes like what you ate last night.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the thing you say to corn when you eat corn. See you in the morning, corn.
So correct. One of the things I do when I find that situation is I send that to the health department, because what I found in the past when I first started, I won't say got burned, but I realized the homeowner will say, take a hike, here's your earnest money back, then put the house back on the market and not disclose it. A home inspector will come through. Yeah, you don't have any problems because it's not leaching up forever, and then it's sold. And then now that person's on the hook for
sure.
A new system. So
that sounds like that's potentially lawsuitable.
Oh yeah. So when I turned in the health department, they're going to make them, regardless if they decide to sell the house now or not, they're going to make them replace that system
or condemn it. Right. Is that what they do? So you can't live in it until you get it fixed.
Make them cap it off and pump, and they call it pump and dump. You know, they can't let it run anymore or whatever.
So you still can have a pump and dump system in Indiana.
Well, pump and dump means they've capped it off. It no longer goes to the creek. So once that fills up, and in a week, you have to pump it. So you're $400 every time you pump it.
But you could have still just a tank that it drains to and have it pumped without a leach field and an actual finger system.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I mean, you could have little cabins and things like a lot of people like go have a hunting cabin or something with nothing like that, and they'll have it just a tank, and then they just get it pumped every year.
Sure.
Because they only fill it up maybe once a year, you know.
It's one of those heavy beer nights. You go out in the backyard.
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah. Everywhere's a septic system outside.
For a guy, it is kind of that way anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. Right?
That's right.
It's like, my little boy is like that. So.
Hey, all right.
Even when we're in the house.
Sometimes they just run straight out in the front yard. And
he does. He goes,
like, what are you doing?
I got to the bathroom. He runs out the back door and off the porch.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. That's
fantastic.
So, whatever.
Why not?
That's just sure. One of the things I hear a lot when it comes to septic systems, somebody who wants to buy a house, they're like, question comes up is, when's the last time this was pumped? And there's often a request for having that pumped before they agree to continue with the purchase of the house. Mm-hmm. How often should that be done? Is there a kind of an average of how often that should be done? Again, I know nothing about septic systems.
So I say, they say every three to five years. If it's just an, you guys, every 5 years would be good.
Oh, I'm a little behind,
but
about three times.
Cause yeah. There's only two people living in this house. That was why.
So, every 3 to 5 years, I don't like to have a pump before the inspection. I just ran into this yesterday because I have to fill 1,000 gallons back up of water to fill it back up just to start testing it. So I don't have the capability of pumping anyway. So, and I can't depend on a company to meet me on time every time to pump it out afterwards. So I always, on my reports for a real estate transaction, I just put down pump the tank. If it's negotiated between the buyer and the seller, great. Because I'll appear to tell you, every homeowner who's on a septic takes care of their septic and gets it pumped religiously every 3 years, is what they say. And they treat it all the time. And,
I'm sure they do.
Oh, yeah. I don't even do that. So, so I know it's not true. But, and maybe some people it is, but I'm sure most people don't even look in their septic. So
we don't look in there.
Yeah.
I figure there's goblins living in there. I figured the scary people that live in the crawl space are even scarier in the septic tank. But we do use...
Now your crawl space is immaculate.
Oh, yeah. I could rent it to, like, I don't know. I can't use any of the words I used to be able to. They're all not politically correct anymore.
All right.
So we do Ridex. Mm-hmm. We do Ridex like every 3 months. That's like we've done that for years. Does it actually?
Ridex. It's
a natural bacteria. It's a bacteria that helps the bacteria.
Because it's yogurt for your septic tank.
Yeah. Whenever you know, you're using soaps and detergents and things like that, it helps break down a bacteria. Well, that helps build up bacteria and keep the bacteria. But I hear things about, you know, I'm not a guy who repairs and replaces, but I've heard people say that stuff tears up a system.
Okay.
And then I hear people say it works fine. So I'm just like, if you want to use it, fine. If not, whatever. So, I never recommend it, or I don't not recommend it.
So is there something else to treat it with versus
now people put yeast, you know, but you know, your gut produces natural bacteria. So, I mean,
mine doesn't, it's been cleaned out.
It's alcohol. There's no bacteria in there. No, the alcohol. Yeah.
Looks like a hospital floor in there.
No, I don't know. If people want to use it, that's fine. I always hear such mixed reviews about it, but I don't even want to say anything about it because it's
okay.
I don't even know.
I mean, we've done it since we've owned the house, you know, and now maybe we go 6 months, but we're pretty religious about
work. I mean, it's not hurting.
It's when we go on vacation, we'll dump it in there and go. And then we also treat our well once a year at the same time. Yeah. We go on vacation, we treat the well, we leave, we come back and clean the water.
Right.
So,
yeah.
There you go.
I mean, I'm sure it doesn't hurt.
Well, along those lines, for those who have a septic, if I were to buy a house, I would have really no idea how to take care of it. What do you recommend people do to keep a good septic system going?
You know, it does depend on how you take care of it. It also depends on the soil and what kind of soil you have and things like that. But, you know, just no baby wipes, no flushable baby wipes because they flush, but they still don't break down.
Flushable adult wipes?
Yeah, that either.
Don't they still baby wipes, though? Oh, baby, you feel so much better.
And I just say, and I just tell people straight up when I'm there, no condoms, no feminine products.
No Q-tips.
No Q-tips, no cigarette butts, you know.
Cigarette butts?
I did a tank this year, and I thought it was completely full of cigarette butts. That's how many butts were in this thing.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
Cigarette butts as far as I could see through the whole tank. And I'm like,
because I guess there's
this guy's a this guy must have been just a nervous chain smoker, man. I don't know, but it was horrible. I've never seen one like it. So I was like, golly, but, you know,
so no roaches either.
Yeah. None of the good stuff.
No meth pipes.
Right, yeah. I've seen them.
I bet you have. The cops were here on Thursday. So I had to dump everything in the can.
I like to say people are diabetic. No needles.
No needles.
Like
that.
Okay. I like to just give them the benefit of the doubt that they're diabetic.
That's right.
But, just nothing that I always just say, whatever comes out of you and that's it, you know, and toilet paper. But I have another one is, I have a garbage disposal, and I scrape everything off. And when there's a little debris left, I don't mind it. You know, I put it out in there. I don't just scrape everything.
You don't put the bones in there.
No, I don't do all that. So I scrape the plate first. And if there's a little residue and it goes down there, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it, but I just don't dump the whole thing in there. So
I can't see, you know, somebody throwing their needle in the toilet.
Oh, they syringes and the whole thing.
What are they thinking it goes?
I don't know.
It's a lot of track marks for a diabetic.
Yeah.
You must got the sugar bad.
How do you have your feet? You
know? Exactly. I didn't know you put insulin in your eyes.
Yeah. I've seen some crazy stuff, but yeah.
And so you can always, what you're telling me is you can tell the character of the person by what you find in their septic tank.
And I can always tell if it's a rental.
Oh, yeah, because they don't care.
They don't care.
Yeah.
I walk out because people who are usually on septics know not to do these things.
Right. Yeah. You named off all the things we've said. You don't put that in the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't drive on.
Except for our needles. We throw our needles in there.
You don't drive on your fingers. You don't build pools on them. You know, stuff like that.
You don't ever build your pool on there. No.
But, you know, it may have never done it. It may not have any damage. You never know.
I mean, we've lived here since 97 and the pool's been there since 2000, I think.
Yeah. Don't say it, though. Don't say you've got a problem.
That's right.
Yeah, they'll say it.
That's right. Okay, so in terms of you said you look down in there, I had this image of you like sticking your head down a hole and looking, but that's not what you do.
No, I stick a camera down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Stick a phone. I actually stick a camera phone down in there and take
pictures.
So it's an old phone.
You're like, hello?
It's an old phone.
Hang on, that was in a shitty situation.
That phone is a piece of shit. I actually used my phone and it rang a couple times, you know, or something like that. I'm like, oh. Wrong phone, but yeah, it's,
you know, it's easy to do something wrong with your phone. The other day I walked out to throw something in the trash. I opened the lid of the trash can and threw my phone in and it was empty. So now I'm in that big giant trash can.
What am I doing?
Holding the can that was empty in the other hand like a dumbass.
Very nice. Well done. Early in your septic days, how did you, because like now you said you look at satellite images to get an idea of what the system is probably like. How did that happen before satellite? You just kind of have to go out there and wing it?
I still have to do it a lot where I just go out. It's to the point now where I can look at the yard and go, I can see the fingers. Mm. It's like reading a green now. I've done it for so long. Or I can just walk across the yard. I can feel the subtle dips. Or sometimes you don't see anything and I just probe and figure it out and then map it out with a probe with flags and until I figure out the system and then start doing the measurements and everything. So it's all by hand, by feel. And
by experience.
Yeah.
If you can read a green and manage dips, I see why you work well thrillers.
I can read a green.
Yeah.
We can manage dips.
Yep, baby. Okay. You own the company. Mm-hmm. And how big is your company?
Just me.
What?
Just me. Yeah. You know, everybody asks me, I get really busy and I actually turn business away, but I'm really, integrity is like really important to me. And I'm always afraid if you hire somebody, when you hire somebody, they don't care. It's not their business. And I would rather turn somebody away than to give somebody a bad
service,
a bad service. Yep. So I still don't make people happy sometimes, but I mean, at least I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I don't want somebody to say the wrong thing. It's not true or just not do the right thing. And then I'm stuck with the consequences of that. I'd rather just be me and have to, you know, turning people away is a good problem to have, but, I would rather just, I got a boy at 6 years old. You better hurry up. I might get him in there, but other than that,
you could put him on that camera thing. And
yeah. Sticking down, holding by his feet, sticking down in there. Yeah.
Stand Do you there. See the dye?
Got some needles, Dad.
Yep. We'll pull them out. But I would love to do that, but I just don't know. I'm just not there yet as far as maybe trusting somebody enough to be able to do that. But
most septics that I know of are on farmland, you know, many acres, place without HOAs, that kind of stuff.
So behind my house.
Exactly. Behind your house. So I would imagine you go to pretty great lengths sometimes to have to do this. So like, what's your service area?
I'm from Indianapolis to Ohio, pretty much.
Oh, damn.
I like to stay. So I do Brownsburg, Danville. So that's about as far west as I'll go is Danville.
So the donut counties.
Yep. And surrounding counties. Because I started out in Indy. We're just right down the road from here. And then we bought property out east. So I'm starting to gain popularity and getting more business out east. So
just wait till people see this show.
Oh,
my gosh.
Blow up.
Yeah.
And we get tens of people with septic tanks.
Tens of people. No, but I And I'll go, it just depends on the day. Sometimes I'll pick one up. It's really far away just because I'm not busy. Maybe in the wintertime or something. I'm not as busy. But I'll go from here to Ohio pretty much. So
Brian probably doesn't know this, but there's a lot of septic systems inside of Marion County.
Oh, yeah. Broad Ripple has a lot just right down. Broad Ripple has old dry wells, which are just a deep hole in the ground, brick lined wells. They're out of date, but if they're still working, they're fine. Mm-hmm. But once they stop working, it's over.
They're not fine.
You're not allowed to fix them.
They just hook up to the
if it's available sewer. You're looking at like Keystone Avenue, like Tuxedo and Primrose and all those old houses. A lot of those houses are in that area, like 62nd Keystone. A lot of those old houses are still on septic. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do that step up program where they're trying to get Indianapolis onto city sewer. But I mean, it takes forever. I mean,
yep. I'm begging for them to come down my road.
And I'm surprised with the construction across the street.
Yeah. That's not going to help me, but a housing addition. Well, I want an in-ground pool.
Yeah.
I want you to have one of those too.
I do too. So I need septic to come down or sewage to come down, dig my septic out. I don't want that job though.
Where's that tile at?
The main tile?
Yeah.
This back in that field back there. Can you hook that up for him?
I don't know that, but I'm sure there's some old guy could.
Getting the permit to build where the septic is supposed to be to put in the in-ground pool may be a little suspicious.
Yeah, right. Very well be.
We don't need a septic no more.
You had mentioned winter, and it just kind of dawned on me. We don't get a ton of snow, depending on which side of the city you're on. But how does bad winter weather affect your job?
This looks for the yellow snow.
It sucks. It's cold. Now, I mean, with snow on the ground, it definitely makes it harder, but I can still figure it out. The one thing I can't see is if it's leaching up.
Yeah.
So it does hinder that. Thankfully, we don't get that much snow
right
anymore. But majority of the time, it's not that big of a deal. If it's a really bad snow day, sometimes I'll call the customer and be like, hey, we got to get an extension if you really want this.
It's going to take a lot of dye.
Or I just tell them, you're only going to see this, and that's all you're going to get. You know,
right.
I can't.
It's not going to really know.
Yeah, it's not going to
stick a camera down there. That's all you're getting.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like a flushable camera on a, and then just like roll it back up.
There is a guy that I know who does them, and he likes gadgets, and that's how he finds septics. Is he'll flush this little thing down a toilet, and then he'll go out to it. But I don't need it. You don't need them. They're usually in the same spot of every house, pretty much right outside the plumbing vent on the house, and that's where they're at usually. So,
okay, I have a weird question then, because you said that. So, wells. Do you know anything about wells?
I know nothing about wells. Okay, but everybody always puts them together.
Well, they do because you have a well and septic.
Mm-hmm. They always say, hey, do you test water? I'm like, nope, I don't. Yeah. And all the well guys I've talked to is like, same thing. Yeah,
they don't care about the septic. Yeah. I just wondered if the witching stick is a real working. How does that even work? Wait, Brian doesn't know what that is.
I don't. I bet
it's the magnetic, some of the magnetics of the earth. And then
you take a real stick and you walk around the backyard.
Metal wires.
Yeah. And then it'll go, and that means that's where you drill your well.
That's when you're over, it'll cross the, if you just hold on to them loosely, and they're like a little L shape, and you hold on to them and you like cross over a finger where there's water source or even your water line coming into the house, like a city line, those things will cross
It's straight black magic.
Mm-hmm.
I bet Fred knows about that.
Fred probably's doing it right now.
This city boy don't know nothing about that.
No, he's from Chicago.
Oh, ish. Yeah.
South side.
Suburbs. And, you know, suburb here.
Oh, not the South Side?
No, South Side of Chicago.
Bears fan?
I grew up a Bears fan,
yeah.
But I moved. Well, I went to IU and graduated there in 95. Stayed in Indy/Greenwood. So, you know, morphed into a Colts fan, became a season ticket holder. Easy to do when Peyton Manning's around and the team is dominating.
Yeah, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. I also grew up a Bulls fan because I grew up in the Michael Jordan era. And so really have kind of lost touch with the NBA because I just feel that the product isn't as good. I will say, however, the Patriots are a fun team and have been for several years. So, you know, the Bulls have been tragically bad for a while now.
I grew up Bears fan when I was little, and then I really didn't care about football as a little kid. But then as the Colts came in, I was a Colts fan.
Yeah.
So now that your neighbor became the Pope, are you a Cubs fan instead of a White Sox fan now?
No.
You're still a White Sox fan?
Still a Sox fan.
He's the Pope.
The Pope.
Yeah.
His brother
Brian
lives in
the
same.
Isn't his name Brian?
Actually, I have no idea. He's got a couple brothers.
Okay.
One of his brothers lives in the same city that my sister lives in, and she was like, "I just walked by the Pope's, walked my dog by the Pope's brother's house." I go, "That's great. It's just."
I hope you picked up after the dog.
I would hope so, right? Yeah.
Just kicked it into the yard.
we just got back from a cruise, literally pulled in my driveway at 3:30 this morning. And we were in Rome for 3 days prior to getting on the cruise. And we left Rome, drove to the port on the day the conclave picked the Pope. Mm. So my messaging and social media blew up with, "Oh my gosh, were you there?" That, because we're Catholic, so it was kind of a big deal for us.
Smoke, yeah.
No, we weren't anywhere near it. I was like, "No, I'm like an hour away from Rome. I didn't see any smoke."
You should have showed a picture of the smoke coming out of the stack on the giant cruise ship.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, look,
it's white.
I was told that everybody from Chicago kind of just knew. Like, they're like, "Oh, I think the Pope just got from Chicago."
Honestly, when I first saw it, no, I didn't know that. We were more shocked that he was an American, because that had never happened before. And then,
right.
You know, my dad grew up in Chicago, now lives in Florida, but he can somehow equate so many things in our lives to, "Oh, that's like living in Chicago." So, man, that dude was fired up that the Pope is from Chicago.
Been in Peru for a long time, though.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think he's lived in Italy, they said, for like 10 years or something.
Speaks all
the time. Take the boy out of Chicago, but you can't take the Chicago out of the boy.
He'll
cornjack
you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, dude, I've seen him. Did you see him cock that Glock and put that in his back? I mean, he did that like it was nothing.
He'll be out there spray painting the Vatican.
He was, man. He's like, "Oh,
when I like it,
the Pope." "I like it to paint." Is that what you said?
"When I like it, it's a paint." And they're going to change Rome into a deep dish pizza town.
Nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice, because the pizza in Rome isn't very good.
I figured you guys ate more gluten than...
Oh, yeah.
There was more gluten served with you guys than in the entire state of California last year.
Which is funny, because... Well, I guess not funny. A lot of people have this experience. My wife is gluten intolerant, not allergic, but it doesn't make her body feel good after eating it. Her joints hurt and all that. But the two times that three times we've been in Italy, she can eat all the gluten and not be affected by it.
I've been told that, but then I also have a friend that is more allergic to it like I am, and they went, "Yeah, that's a lie. It didn't work for me."
Yeah.
You know, so it probably depends on what your allergy is.
Yeah, I'd imagine
the severity of it.
Yep. So yeah, there was a lot of noodles eaten.
It looked good.
My wife, like, she doesn't eat noodles basically at this point in her life. She'll eat pizza and, you know, pop an enzyme tab so she can be okay afterwards, but
I see.
Over there?
It seemed like the alcohol there affected you a little differently than it does here. I don't know if it's atmospheric or how strong it was, but you seemed one of the evenings you seemed a little more like
so
inebriated.
We went to this restaurant called Dino and Tony's, and it's these two old brothers who own this little family. And so many of the restaurants in Italy are small as it is. Any chance you ever been to Italy?
No.
Okay.
Want to go though.
So this was not that far from
a restaurant called Little Italy,
the Vatican. And Stephanie had found, I forget, somebody suggested that we go there, and they said, "Don't even ask for a menu. Just ask for what the chef is making tonight and go with it." So that's what we did. So four of us walk in, and old man Dino comes over. We tell him, you know, "Hey, we're here to whatever you got." Like, okay. So it was a multiple course meal that included table wine. I had had a couple of beers before going to dinner too. So there's that. And, you know, I'm enjoying the wine, and we get like three or four appetizers that show up. And there's only four of us at the table. And
you guys had enough food to feed the Brady bunch.
It was ridiculous. After the appetizers, then came a round of three different pastas. Then came a plate of meatballs, and then came a plate of pork, and which my wife says was some of the best pork she's ever had. Okay, whatever, it's fine. It was good. By this point, and by the way, I'm updating throughout dinner with Instagram stories.
One of them sounded something like,
then dessert comes out. We have no idea like how much food is even still to come.
And "Help us, a terrible soup." So dessert, that's what I think he said.
Dessert comes out with like three different desserts, a chilled bottle of homemade limoncello, and something called doozy. That is a sweet wine, dessert wine, I'm sure. And I'm mixing shots of that together. And that's where the language just fell off the table. And
the texting began.
Oh, my gosh. And then we didn't even know how much we owed. I mean, this could have been a $1,000 meal. We had no idea. So my wife goes back and asks Dino, you know, what do we owe? And Dino does not speak much English. So he
neither were you.
Literally, right, right. By this point, I don't either. He rips off a little tiny piece of paper. It's got nothing written on it but 160 euro. So for the four of us,
180 bucks.
40, if 40 bucks a person for dinner, what a phenomenal meal.
Wow.
And then then Stephanie goes up, hands him the credit card to pay. And then he looks at her, says, you know, thanks for coming, whatever. Gives her a hug, kisses both cheeks like she was family. And she was like, I wish someone had gotten like a picture of that. I had no that's function. Kind of,
that's a place you want
to go. Oh my gosh, it was so great. We love telling the story. And then we leave and my parents hop in a cab to go back to the hotel. And Stephanie and I, because it's not as far. And so we decide we're going to walk. And she's like, I have no idea how Brian actually made it home. And I have a recollection of the majority of the night, to be honest, not what I said on the walk home. And she said, yeah, it was kind of a struggle, but we made it back.
It's a mishmash of words and noises.
Yep. And then she does have a photo of me leaning over the toilet. And there's, unfortunately, there's recollection and her terrible stories of me just leaving dinner all over the bathroom floor.
That was the pasta, though, because pasta affects you guys differently in the United States than it does the Italians. This made you sick.
There you go. It's the pasta's fault.
It's the pasta's fault.
It's not the doozy and the limoncello.
Don't blame it on that.
So it was great.
Speaking of that, shouldn't we have a shot right now?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, we usually do a
limoncello.
We're getting close to the end, so we probably should do a shot before we're done. And I do believe there might be some limoncello over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll go see just for you.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Summer's here. Crack open a cold sunlight cream ale from Sun King or mix it up with WeMac, Osiris, or a seasonal like Playhard. Four indie taproom locations or find it wherever you grab your beer. Sun King, Indiana brewed, summer approved.
Whoa, what do we have here?
Well, since we were just talking about limoncello, why not, right?
All the way from Hotel Tango.
From Hotel Tango for limoncello only. I don't believe I've had this one before. We shall see.
I don't remember having it either, but it's that empty.
Really good limoncello from the country that invented limoncello.
You know, that's really lemon-y.
Ooh, all right. It is. All right, well, cheers to you, sir.
Cheers.
Chris.
Cheers, Chris.
Thanks for joining us, and cheers to you all.
Very good.
Hmm.
All right.
Wow. I say sip, pucker, and repeat.
That's puckery.
As it says right there on the bottle.
Well, Hotel Tango makes some great alcoholic beverages.
That they do.
Downtown Indianapolis, they've got the Hotel Tango Distillery, and I believe they have a restaurant as well.
They do.
And hey, Hotel Tango, if you stumble on this and you want to have your products on our show on a regular basis, let us know.
That would be awesome. All right, Chris, as we're nearing the end of the show here,
the portion of the show where we wipe up everything?
Yes. I don't know. Maybe we've covered everything, but what is there anything that kind of you can think of that maybe we haven't touched on in terms of septic that people need to know, should be aware of, should be on the lookout for?
No, I think more for the realtors. I think they need to push more, and not even if you don't use me, more for a more thorough septic, not a dye test. Just, I mean, I put dye in the tank, but something more thorough, because if you're missing some of the components in a tank, it's going to ruin the system eventually down the road. So,
and as we've learned, it's expensive to replace.
Yes.
You know, and from the lending side, a lot of people don't know this. They think, oh, I'm going to do a VA loan or an FHA loan or a USDA loan. None of those require a septic inspection. They only require a water test if the well is within a certain distance of the septic field, right? So if it's more than 100 feet away, then it doesn't even require a water test. So the septic is not getting checked when you're buying a home with an FHA loan. But let me ask you this. Should people be afraid to buy a house that has a septic system?
No, not at all. Not at all. No.
it's like anything else. You could have problems. I mean, you could also have a problem with the sewer line.
You could have a sewer line back up to the street, right. And now you have to pay thousands of dollars to get it fixed.
We built a brand new home with Arbor back in 2018. And in the very first month, the water pipe next to my house was broken. And we had water when we live on a slab. So we had water coming in around the base of our house. We're like, what the hell? So they had to come dig it up.
Anything can happen. Scared. Now, when you get in a house, I won't say you should be scared, but you're buying a house in the 1960s. That's from the 1960s, and it's the original. You don't have to be scared, but if you're going to live there 20 more, if you're going to plan on living there 20 years, you're probably going to have to invest some money in that eventually. It's probably going to happen, but knock on wood, right? But then again, it may not. I see them from the 1950s because I get the documentation from the health department. Original tank. Sometimes the tank may need replaced. It's falling apart, but still working. No problem,
But there's the old saying, they don't build them like that anymore.
Yeah.
So sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Unless the guy that built it just did a shitty job.
Poop.
That's a lot of bathroom puns in this one.
Yeah. It really is. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you making the trip out here today and telling us about a part of real estate that most people don't know about and probably don't really want to talk about.
Yeah.
So appreciate what you do.
I appreciate you getting down to the dirty truth about the whole thing.
Yep.
You could do this all night. All right. Well, on that note, thank you for watching Real Estate Makes Us Drink.
Cheers.
Feel free to leave us a comment and share this with someone you know that's got a septic system. Have a great night. Cheers.
Thank you.